Hi, hi. The episode that follows is part of a 7-episode series on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow. Spoilers abound. Be sure you've watched the movie before listening. It's very, very trans, so beautiful and so important, but it is very emotionally heavy. You'll want to be in a good headspace and heart space before watching, and be sure to have someone to hug after. Onward we go. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Vision rockets through the sky with the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow Part 3. Exploring her transness has made things super complicated. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the only person who's complicated my life in good ways, Susan Bridges.
Hello!
And our returning guest is the incredible writer, Lila Sturges.
I'm back!
Yay! I'm so glad. It would be weird if you drop it off after part two.
Yeah, I know. But it would be, I don't know, there might be some aspect of this film that's just too overwhelming for me, but I don't think so. I think we're going to make it all the way.
It's going to be tough, but we'll get there together.
We will.
We are the pink opaque.
We are the pink opaque. I told my wife that I was seriously considering getting the ghost tattoo on the back of my neck.
And yeah.
She said, wait a year, and if you still want it, do it. So
I've thought about it too. Yeah. I know people who've already gotten it. So
really?
It's, yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I get it.
There is a good amount of.
Yeah. Before I got the one that I have now, I left it on my screen for like 3 or 4 years, like on my lock screen, my inspiration. So, yeah. All right. Anyway, let's get back to talking about this movie. Picking up where we left off, 21 minutes, 49 seconds. It's 2 years later, and we see high school Owen, now in 9th grade and the beginning of his journey. And there is green next to him. He has a blue shirt on and holds blue cotton candy in his hand. And he's trapped between the green carnival games and blue benches. He hasn't been able to transition, and it's made things even harder for him. It feels like despair and dysphoria have grown.
And he's in the first of many places, first of many scenes in which things that are supposed to be fun are an unpleasant background.
Yeah, continuing along with that theme from the ice cream truck and Mr. Yes. Sprinkles the ice cream man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 22 minutes, 15 seconds. We see Owen's mom bathed in greens and blues with a scarf on her head indicating possible hair loss from chemotherapy. She mentions health problems in just a second. But if she's Owen's access to femininity, what's this telling us? What does her potentially losing her hair signify? This is not to say women, cis or trans, cannot be bald or have short hair. There is nothing wrong with that. But long hair is stereotypically associated with femininity. And so for the purposes of metaphor, this shows you that Owen is losing his access to it. And for that matter, you can see how important my own hair was to finding my true self in 2 different essays all about it at tillystranstuesdays.com. And this fear of Owen's is confirmed when 22 minutes, 33 seconds, mom. So how are you feeling about my little health scare, buddy? She's in
my
blue.
Little health scare.
My little health scare. She's in blue. The bench is blue. He's so sad. Owen, I'm fine. There's a flashing red light behind them. Danger. Losing access to your true gender makes you despair and panic. Mom, it seems like you're always somewhere else lately. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's because of me or, I don't know, maybe I'm just making it up. Just want to know that you're on the right path, you know? Are you on the path to embracing your femininity like you want to, Owen? Isn't this the wrong direction? 23 minutes, 23 seconds. Owen spits into the cotton candy and watches it melt. Ooh, look at this fun distraction from feelings I want to ignore. La la la.
Also a viscous fluid.
Also a viscous fluid. You are
A
correct.
viscous
Oh.
blue fluid, no less. Yeah.
23 minutes, 30 seconds. Teen Owen is lying on the back seat, just like when he was a kid, but his head is in his mom's lap, clinging to what femininity he has left. He asks, "Can I stay up late to watch the Pink Opaque tonight?" "Mom, you know your bedtime is at 10:15 p.m." It used to be 10. His parents have given him a tiny bit more quote-unquote freedom, but still don't let him access his transness. The Pink Opaque is on at 10:30. Green and yellow lights abound. The roof of the car is blue. 24 minutes, 13 seconds. Owen's dad, his masculinity with his only line in the entire movie, "Isn't that a show for girls?" Red light flashes outside the window. Danger. How could you want to explore girly things for children? You are a boy, you know. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with me? Mom, not tonight, honey. 24 minutes, 39 seconds. Owen in bed, all in blue. Quote, "After that first sleepover, I couldn't work up the courage to say more than three words to Maddie Wilson at a time." Why? Embarrassment, shame, fear. But when I told her I still wasn't allowed to watch the show, she started leaving tapes for me.
Also, now we have here in this very bewildering part of Owen's life, we have Owen, this Owen in situ now narrating, which is something that hasn't happened, just further confusing what's real and
Yeah.
what isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, because the narration, yeah, it's like present, and then sometimes it's future Owen narrating, and you don't know necessarily which one it is, and they happen at different times, and the sense of time is all messed up. 24 minutes, 54 seconds. As Owen walks through the school, we hear "Starburned and Unkissed" by Carolyn Palash. Remember that one of the meanings for Tara was star, which means this song is maybe about Owen feeling like seeing another trans person and exploring his transness has burned him and left him alone. The lyrics do nothing to dispel this notion. Wake up, distorted to the bone, salt on demand, say you miss it, but oh, I know you don't. How many plans with girls with makeup? Hey, you Casanova, hey, you Supernova, come home, the kettle's whistling, my heart's a ghost limb reaching, starburned and unkissed. As he walks through the school, we and he can finally see those signs on the wall. They're all red and yellow, danger and fear, you betcha, but they're overlaid with the pink drawings about the Pink Opaque, showing you that transness can overcome both. And the signs on the wall read, "Carpe diem, to thine own self be true, winners never quit, excellence, semper fidelis, and I took the road less traveled by, leadership, valor, service, character, scholarship, the only easy day was yesterday, honor, duty, country, commitment, veni, vidi, vici, knowledge is power, carpe diem again, courage, without courage all other virtues are meaningless, success, pain is weakness leaving the body, to thine own self be true, again,
Again.
reach for the stars." Every single one of those can be read as motivation for following your truth, embracing your true self, becoming who you really are, valuing community. He can see those signs more clearly now, even though they've always been there. Again, this is a literal interpretation of the signs were always there that were trans. Because we know those signs were there when he was a kid, even though he couldn't read them. See the episode of Tilly's Trans Tuesdays all about that topic. But one really important thing that I want to say here is that all of those sayings on those signs, society throws those at all of us all the time, and they're exactly what trans people need to transition in this highly transphobic society. But when we do that, society says, no, bad, ew, wrong, how dare you? Do what we say and be your true self, but not like that.
And that speaks to what Lila was saying about how there's like super generic.
Yeah.
Generic and banal. And I think the one that's repeated, the one that's there twice, to thine own self be true, is my favorite because that is from Hamlet. That is Polonius speaking to Laertes, giving him life advice as he's about to go off and see the world. And Polonius is a buffoon. He's giving all of this advice to Laertes about how this is how you should be. Be like this, be like that, be like this, be like the other thing. And then he contradicts all of it at the end by saying, but above all, to thine own self be true. So he completely cancels out all of his own advice, leaving nothing in its wake. And so I think that was intentional as well, this idea
Yeah.
that the advice is not well meant, right? That the advice
Exactly.
is not intended to actually do anything. It's just they're taking up space. But like you say, when trans people actually take it to heart and we try to be who we really are, it's like that. No, not like that.
Yeah, exactly. And imagine how that would feel for you, cis friends. You've heard all those sayings your whole life, too. Maybe they even somehow motivated you to do something, to be true to yourself, and you were congratulated and rewarded for it. But when we trans people do it, we're often shunned and mocked for it. So maybe sit with that for a bit. 26 minutes, 23 seconds. Look at Owen walking down this hallway, transness on one side and despair on the other. He's trying to find his way, trapped in this liminal space. The liminal spaces, again, show up so often in this movie. 26 minutes, 54 seconds. He turns before the blue lockers overtake the hall. He's decided to turn from the despair and into the red dark room to pick up the pink opaque pilot episode on tape. We want this, but danger. What does it mean? What might happen? What would people say? 27 minutes, 17 seconds. He puts the pilot tape into the VCR. The screen in front of him goes blue. He's accessing his transness alone, away from Maddie, away from everyone, and it makes him sad because he can't just be that. He has to hide it from the world. 27 minutes, 20 seconds. Owen's face still bathed in blue. Owen. I watched these tapes over and over again, but they never got old. He explored his gender feelings time and time again, and it never became something he didn't want to do anymore. For a reason, bub. But why is his face blue? Well, okay, listen. 27 minutes, 34 seconds. Marco and Polo, the moon people
Marco
with
and
breasts
Polo.
and beards, in white dresses that look blue, doing their weird dance in the green forest. This is why his face is blue. This is why he's still full of despair. Not just because he can't live his truth, because he's afraid that if he did, societal transphobia, internalized transphobia, all transphobia has told him this is all he'll ever be. Society makes us think as trans women will only be seen as, quote, men with breasts, makes us think as trans men will only be seen as, quote, women with beards. You could never look like a, quote, real person of that gender. Now hold up. I don't want your angry comments. Neither I nor Jane are saying there's anything wrong with having a beard and breasts. Don't get it twisted. I know some people who have both. They're lovely and wonderful, and some of them are very hot. Be whoever you truly are. But also, our highly transmedicalist society tells us that passing as cisgender is the goal. It is absolutely not, but that's what we're told. See the episode on passing and misgendering for more.
Yeah, Marco and Polo are very deliberate parodies of gender
Yes.
fluidity or
Yeah.
gender queering, and they are shown to us almost like a freak show.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely what we're supposed to take away from this, is that, and that's how Owen sees it.
Right.
Sure, that any kind of
Yeah.
gender diversity is just incredibly outre, taboo, beyond the pale.
Yeah, and that's what society teaches us our whole life, right? Not even directly. They don't always say that, but it's always like it's implied in so many things, like the queer villains, right? Or like how all bi people in TV shows used to have to be evil and untrustworthy, and they work it into you like that, and you
The evil
absorb
bisexual.
the evil bisexual trope.
You
You
bisexual.
absorb these things without even realizing that that's what you're being taught. And our horribly transphobic society implants into all of us thoughts about what being trans, quote unquote, really is, what it, quote unquote, really means, and the, quote unquote, only right way to do it. It is bullshit. It is all bullshit. But one bit of common internalized transphobia, and one I certainly had to deal with, was I could never look like that cis woman, so why would I ever transition? I am clearly not trans. Society wants us thinking that so that we either don't transition, or if we do, we pass as cis and still uphold the false cis binary matrix. It is insidious. Even within the trans community, this bullshit idea persists. And it all stems from cis doctors who gatekept medical transition and, for example, used to only quote unquote let trans women access it if we could pass as cis women and were attracted to men. See the episode on transmedicalism in WPATH version 1 for the roots of this horrific evil. and once again see the episode on internalized transphobia for all the ways society worms these awful thoughts about ourselves into ourselves without our consent. And Marco and Polo's hair and facial hair are shaped to look like crescent moons, so we know they work for the man on the moon, Mr. Melancholy, transphobia. This is what Owen's own internalized transphobia is telling him is all he could ever be. And the last thing a trans woman wants to be seen as is a, quote, man with breasts. Transphobes like to call us that, by the way, if you're wondering just how real that is. Isabel, what's happening to me? How do I know these things? Am I going crazy? This is sure what it feels like when your egg cracks and you're like, wait, how could the entire world have been lying to me? And yet it was, and does, and is. Tara, no, never let anyone convince you of that. You're like me. You're special. You're trans. 28 minutes, 40 seconds. Owen is bathed in blue, but look how pink his lips are. Tara, we are the pink opaque. It's our destiny. The Matrix talks a lot about this too, the difference between fate and destiny and choice. And what I want you to remember is that in terms of being trans, it's both. We don't choose to be trans, that's the part that's fate or destiny. We just are, but we choose to transition or not. Tara, I knew it from the moment I saw your tattoo in the dining hall. Heck, I knew it before I even met you. Can you feel it? Again, sometimes we can just kind of recognize each other. Something about those of us who exist outside the false binary, I don't know, but it's there. And since we're talking about connection and community, we get this shot again. 29 minutes, 10 seconds. Maddie and Tara's heads together. Isabel, I don't even have my learner's permit yet. This is about driving on the surface, sure, but it also means, like, this is the first time I've ever thought about or explored my own transness. And then echoed by Owen as Isabel says it, how can I have a destiny? Right? We didn't ask for this. We didn't want it. We can choose what to do with our own lives. Why is this happening to me?
Also, I think that the implied statement, I mean, it's like a joke, right? I don't even have my driver's license. How can I have destiny? But I think it also is like saying, like, I'm too young for this, which is something that when I was a teenager, all of these feelings felt way too big for me. And I associated them with something to do with adulthood that I didn't want any part of. And I was a very late bloomer in that regard. Like, I wanted to be a kid for as long as humanly possible.
Sure.
I didn't really want to grow up because growing up seemed to me like you had to make the choice that was not the choice I wanted to make.
Yeah. That is very relatable. 29 minutes, 17 seconds. Owen's dad comes in and he speeds to shut the TV off so he isn't caught. And let me tell you, I lived that moment. When I was a kid, and I don't know how old, maybe 9 or 10, I was watching this movie on TV that was about lesbians. It was not porn or even R-rated. It was just like a drama about two women who were in love with each other. I can't remember much of anything about it at all. Thanks, disassociation. We'll talk more about that later. Other than I was intensely intrigued by it for reasons I couldn't tell you, not remotely sexual. Hi, it's me. I'm a lesbian. But I didn't know that at the time because I had no idea that the feelings I had that made me feel like a girl meant that I was a girl or that I could be the girl I really am. And I already knew I liked girls, but I was a boy, right? No. But that's what my family and friends and all of society told me. They couldn't all be wrong, could they? Yes. Anyway, my mom was virulently homophobic and transphobic, and I guess she heard something that made her panic, and she came tearing into the room at a run. But I heard her coming and changed the channel really quick. Because even then, at that age, when nobody in my family had so much as said a word ever acknowledging anything other than heterosexuality and cisgender people existed, I knew they would freak the F out and punish me for watching it. Kids pick up on these things. 29 minutes, 20 seconds. There's static all around Owen's head. His truth is again obscured. 30 minutes, 9 seconds. Owen is now in pink. All the connection to the show has made him get closer to his own transness. He hasn't accepted it yet, but he's closer than he's ever been. But he still can't get too close to Maddie, or people might talk, might suspect. He asks if Maddie and Amanda still watch The Pink Opaque together every week. Did you notice Maddie is now in blue, and her hair and clothes have a much more femme presentation than before? She's pulled back from the more gender-neutral presentation that she was more comfortable in. Why would she present more femme now? Why is she in despair? Maddie says she hasn't talked to that asshole in a year. Amanda told the entire school that Maddie, quote, tried to touch her tit, which is a lie. Amanda, a fellow trans person, mind you, painted Maddie as a sexual predator. And well, that never happens to trans people. Nope, this is sarcasm if you missed it.
Yeah, this is just like queer panic. It's like...
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to link you to the million articles calling trans people sexual predators. It's just standard bigoted operating procedure now. But Amanda did that? Yes. And then joined the cheer squad. Cheerleading is super athletic and great, but also cheerleaders generally conform to rigid gender stereotypes. Skirts, makeup, long hair. We all know what cheerleaders look like. So what we have here is that Amanda rejected her transness and drove into pretending to be as cis as she could. Remember how she dressed way more femme and could not escape all the dysphoria that was around her when we saw her before? And I said it would be relevant later? Later is now. She couldn't escape her dysphoria, so she gave up on her transness and dove headfirst into conforming to compulsory cishet life because that's what others expected to see from her, including perpetuating dangerous transphobic lies about Maddie to help distance herself from her. See, I'm not trans like her. She was just assaulting me, the creep. Amanda's a pick-me, a Caitlyn Jenner, a Buck Angel, from The Matrix, Reloaded, most of all, the Merovingian, a trans person who sold out the rest of us due to the way society rewards you for conforming to that compulsory cishetness they force on all of us. And this was telegraphed earlier with her Black and Wilds. She cared about, quote, appearing cool, because the way she appeared to others was more important than how she appeared to herself. And so, of course, she conformed to what society told her was the, quote-unquote, right way to be. Ugh, screw you and your Black and Wilds, Amanda.
I'm sorry, did you mention that this scene takes place on the bleachers?
Because I did not. It,
very,
it does
very
say
important.
About the bleachers. Yeah.
It takes place at the football field, which
at
is
the football field, where all the dudes are and all the cheerleaders. It's so gender rigid.
Yes,
yeah.
And where big, big decisions are made, right, on the football field. And I think that this is one of the best visual moments to me in the whole film is watching Justice Smith approach Bridget Lundy Payne,
yeah,
and being like physically like drawn toward her while at the same time like not wanting to get too close.
Yeah.
And so that like shuffle that he, it's so heartbreaking because he so
yeah.
really wants to be close to her, and
yes,
and but it's so hard for him.
Yeah, and knows that he shouldn't be seen being close to her, and it's
yes.
Yeah, yeah,
so powerful.
And I think here, Maddie is more femme-presenting than she's been so far, with longer hair, a femme tank, a long skirt, more makeup on, because she liked Amanda, not romantically, I don't think, but just as another trans person. But she got caught up in Amanda's regression and thought if she did it too, maybe Amanda would still like her. But no, that's not how it works, is it? Or perhaps Maddie tried to give up her transness too, but discovered she couldn't or didn't want to because being your true self was more important. Maybe it's both of those things. And she's mad at herself for letting someone push her to be less like her true self.
Yeah, and Maddie says something that in the moment sounds delusional, which is that she says, I think she's a secret agent sent to make my life miserable, which could be like, you know, youthful exaggeration, hyperbole, but I think she means it. Like she's being serious.
Yeah.
And she sounds kind of delusional. And it's kind of funny because like, the idea of a break from reality, which is like so much of what this film contemplates, you know,
yeah.
A lot of this film is about like, what happens if I say no to my conception of reality and embrace a different reality, right? And this is where like reality starts to break a little bit. And I think it's interesting that Amanda is like also the same actor that plays Mr. Melancholy and Marco,
yeah.
Apparently. So that actor is like, all over and is a secret agent and is literally a secret agent sent by Mr. because the
yeah.
Midnight Realm is not real.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Maddie is being literally correct when she says that.
Yeah. And I mean, it also kind of feels that way. I think when, like, especially when you're trans, if you know another trans person and they turn on the community like that, what a personal betrayal that would feel like, you know, like you're rejecting me specifically and the rest
mm-hmm.
of us. How could you sell us out just to better yourself? You know, it's the, I, yeah.
Yeah. And really that is like Amanda is like a transphobic ex escalation character going from Amanda to Marco to Mr. Melancholy. She
Yeah.
gets worse and worse. She perpetuates everything that hurts even herself.
And just keeps doubling down.
31 minutes, 17 seconds. Owen, if you wanted, I could come over again. Remember when we explored our transness together? We could maybe do that some more. To clear up, this is not a sexual thing. Maddie is into girls, and Owen is genuinely like, that's fine. I don't care. I don't think he's romantically or sexually into Maddie, but Owen is a girl, so either way, that doesn't bother him. 31 minutes, 20 seconds. In the commentary, Jane says, Justice and his very prevalent Adam's apple there, that's how you know he's trans. Like, Jane was joking, yes, but it's funny because it's true. 32 minutes, 40 seconds. Maddie asks him if he likes girls and or boys. Owen, when I think about that stuff, it feels like someone took a shovel and dug out all my insides. And I know there's nothing in there, but I'm still too nervous to open myself up and check. You can feel hollow when trying to think about who you are romantically or sexually attracted to because you don't understand your own gender, and that super complicates things. See the episode on sexuality is not gender and how it caused a whole lot of problems for me figuring myself out too. Note that Owen's afraid to look inside himself, and it's not because there's nothing in there, because he's afraid if he explores those feelings, he'll discover what is in there is his transness. And remember, he does open himself up and look at the end of the movie. He
Yeah, I was going to
progresses.
say, this is
He
Chekhov's,
changes.
it's Chekhov's egg, right? It's being like put on the face,
Absolutely.
like this thing is going to crack later.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
is not the same Owen at the end of the movie. Remember that. 33 minutes, 3 seconds. Owen, I know there's something wrong with me. That's what society tells you about the feelings you have when you're trans. My parents know it too, even if they don't say anything. He's afraid of what they'd say. They already treat him like they know. My parents subconsciously knew I was trans, even if they consciously didn't realize. This is something I've talked about with multiple other trans women who were the eldest child in their families and had similar experiences. I was also the eldest. Our parents, even my very rigid gender role ones, never treated me like an eldest son. They treated me like an eldest daughter, and so many other trans women have said the same. Subconsciously, they picked up on cues, maybe in the same way we trans people can sometimes spot each other. And somewhere in there, they knew, and they treated us like it, even while consciously berating, mocking, and punishing us for any behaviors outside the cishet quote-unquote norm. Cis boys totally did this too, and many trans women I've talked to also experienced this. Subconsciously, they'd pick up on how different we are, how we don't conform to what they expect cis boys to be, and then punish us for it. It was a wild and bad time, friends.
I know that time very well. Yeah.
Happened to you too, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, they know. 33 minutes, 29 seconds. Owen asks Maddie if she feels hollowed out, and she says she doesn't know. She doesn't want to admit it, but look at her face. She absolutely does feel that way, and that is some really great acting by Bridget Lundy Payne. 38 minutes, 38 seconds. Maddie, maybe you're like Isabel, afraid of what's inside of you. Aha, yeah, just maybe he is.
Maybe just, yeah, maybe just.
Just maybe. And what do you think happens when all of society teaches you to be afraid of the truth you feel might be deep inside you? It's going to be a rough journey, friends. Thanks for being here, Lila.
Thanks for having me. We should just keep doing this until we get to the end of the movie.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
All right, let's
Come
do
back
it.
next week and we'll do it.
I will.
Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.